post office, and to the west by the railroad tracks, the CSX railroad tracks. The Mark station, which is this yellow star, is only a 5 or 10 minute walk, depending on where you are on the property. The land use diagram also graphically illustrates the several uses which are around the property. That's Great Seneca High School in blue, and another elementary, Krista McAuliffe Elementary, to the south. Retail, existing retail in red, and different parks that are located in the immediate area. So it has a lot of infrastructure presently there. The diagram also illustrates the proximity of the project, the property, to major network of roads, including I-270, other existing and proposed transit, in addition to the Mark station. The property has four different zones on it now. It the majority of it is RH, which is about 30 acres. 10 acres are a PD9, and then it has little slivers of R30 and CT. So it has four different zoning configurations on it now. It's improved with about 470 rental townhouses that were built in 1981. I'll say tonight that I do not believe they are historic. But they were built.
They're getting there.
They were. I better be careful what I say. They were built in 1981, and although Clark has no immediate plans for the redevelopment of this site, in view of the age of the improvements and the necessarily infrequent revisions to the area master plans, Clark desires to achieve a more rational zoning framework for this property. To do this, we believe that a single zoning category that yields a similar density to the potential yield of the current zoning categories would be very appropriate and compatible with both the surrounding area and the goals and recommendations of the master plan to date. We have requested that the master plan contain a recommendation that the property would be suitable for rezoning from its current classification to a PD44 zone, which would permit the same number of units. And if there is other zoning tools developed as a result of this master plan analysis that would achieve the same result, well, then of course we would be happy to work with the board and staff to do that. The zone would allow a range of unit types to have PD-like zone, and require, most importantly, a comprehensive development plan for the property while maintaining an equivalent density as presently permitted. Because of the flexibility design, increased amenity, and emphasis on comprehensive pedestrian circulation networks and linkages to employment areas and public facilities under a PD-style zone, such zoning facilitates the county's sustainable development goals of providing sufficient density to support existing and proposed transit and a mix of uses in close proximity to others to reduce auto trips and promote walkability. And that is why we have shown you the various uses that are currently there, and they are enhanced by the mixed use and employment near the Mark station that is recommended in by staff in several of its proposals. The redevelopment of this important, well-located, and significantly large parcel, as requested, would also, we believe, act as a catalyst for increasing housing employment in this section of the west side of I-270, as recommended or as consistent with alternatives 2 and 3. As a catalyst project, it would also, we believe, serve as a vehicle to encourage and draw necessary investment in development and redevelopment of desirable, walkable, mixed-use community served by necessary public transit, green linkages, and varied land uses to sustain it over time as an enjoyable and enduring place to live, work, and play. With a unified PD zoning classification at the densities requested, it would provide a necessary mechanism for provision of critical pedestrian connections, road extensions, a grid system there, and connections to the Mark Station would be particularly important, and as well as streetscapes, strategic green spaces, and other environmental enhancements. Such a project would help to successfully reposition the area to attract the form and quality of development desired to accomplish the goals of the master plan. Due to the impact of the varied development standards and different regulatory processes in the four zones currently applicable to the property, Clark believes these important goals are best achieved pursuant to unified PD type zone. We would ask for your favorable consideration of our request as the process moves forward.
Okay, thank you. Are there questions?
I'm sorry, I missed it. How large is this? How many acres are we talking about?
It's 40.5 acres
approximately.
40.5.
Okay, thank
40
you.
40 and a half.
I guess I would ask a similar question to ask the representative from Bizzuto. Right now you have a number of apartment buildings on this site, right?
They are rental townhouses.
They are rental towns.
Right.
Okay. That probably provide a significant amount of affordable housing. I'm sure that Clark would, in a new PD zone, provide at least that amount of affordable housing.
Well, they really right now, I think in 1981, their MPDU restrictions are no longer in existence. That's my understanding. I could be wrong about that, and it's worth checking. But I think if that is the case, then it would not only, it would actually provide a significant amount. And I guess what you're suggesting is, would they consider some form of incentive and tiering? And unlike Clark, I'm just the lawyer, but
right, no.
But I certainly would talk to Clark about that and see what develops out of the work that you all do.
Great, thank you.
Mrs. Sears, if we go to a single zoning for such a large parcel, you still seem to be concerned only with residential. Would there be some desire for perhaps of a mixed-use zone that runs in the same direction as the PD 44 but provides more flexible land use?
I think that would be certainly something that would be considered. We were trying to fit in with the employment center that was to our employment and mixed-use that was being looked at to our north. But certainly a PD would allow some amount of commercial, but anything that is developed that might actually help to integrate more of that might be something that would be very favorably received.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wildman, and be followed by Reed Townsend.
Hi, my name is Mark Wildman. I've been a resident of Germantown for 45 years. Have been participating in the advisory, or not participating, but attending most all the advisory committee meetings. I'm a property owner.
I think if you speak a little closer to the microphone, we're having trouble hearing you.
Sorry. Is that better?
Better.
Sorry. As I said, I own property in the TC5 section of the town center of Germantown. I gave you a handout. I'm assuming that the commission has the handout that I've given you. I'm just going to sort of run down some highlights and concerns that I have that's taken place. One is the future of the Germantown Town Center. As this plan is starting to develop, it's starting to move more towards the I-270 corridor, which is originally was the employment corridor. I'm concerned that the identity of the Germantown Town Center boundaries are starting to get construed into the employment corridor, where originally, as you can see in map one, it basically ran from Crystal Rock Drive, the original town center from Crystal Rock Drive to the CSX railroad tracks. The other concerns I have is the alignment of the CCT. bringing a light rail or a CCT into Germantown and not making a connection to the existing Mark rail station for connectivity doesn't seem like a good idea to me. The it's my understanding that the alignment is going to be under review because of the DOE site, and if we can bring an alignment either up Middlebrook or up Wisteria or up the railroad tracks to try to allow it to align up with the Mark rail station and then continue east up 118 and pick up the existing stop at the east end of town center. Benefits to potentially moving the alignment to Wisteria would be to eliminate a proposed 1,000 linear foot bridge to come across Middlebrook Road because of the topography restraints in that area. One potential alignment would be to come off 270 and come up Crystal up Wisteria, and then, as I said before, maybe coming up the railroad track, paralleling the railroad tracks from Gaithersburg to the Mark rail station, and then heading east up Route 118. The zoning within the Germantown Town Center and the Main Street concept of Main Street was mentioned this evening as well, as far as extending it east and bringing that Main Street all the way down to the Mark rail station. And that's another area that I support as far as trying to extend the town center and make the Mark rail station and that area all part of the Germantown Town Center Main Street concept and core. Any questions?
Other questions? If not, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Townsend, thank you. Followed by Jim Hall.
Am I close? Okay, gotcha. I'm Reed Townsend. I'm with Trammell Crow Company. We're development partners with the Multi-Employer Property Trust, who I'm representing tonight. Multi-Employer Property Trust is a $7 billion commingled pension fund who invests and develops real estate on behalf of its 250 union partners. We're very optimistic on Germantown, both in a short-term and a long-term perspective on real estate. Since 1999, Multi-Employer Property Trust has invested over $150 million in Germantown in three separate parcels. The first was in 1999. We acquired and developed Cloverleaf Center. Developed four buildings of approximately 175,000 square feet. It's been 100% leased since it delivered in 2001 and maintains 100% occupancy through 2012. In 2003, we acquired Century Technology Campus. It's a former Fairchild headquarters, former Orville Science headquarters. We now refer to it as Century Technology Campus and will undoubtedly go through another rebranding after we successfully worked through a rezoning, but it's a 55-acre parcel that is at the next transit stop up from Town Center. We have been actively pursuing a redevelopment plan for Century. It's currently in the I-3 zone, but working with our consultants, Robbie Brewer of Fuller-Turling Brewer and Doug Wren of Rogers Consulting, to develop a mixed-use plan that incorporates office, retail, hotel, and residential to leverage the CCT and develop a plan that's attractive to the market, both in a short-term perspective and long-term for Germantown. Following that acquisition in 2003, in 2004, we acquired Milestone Business Park. It had an existing 350,000 square feet of mid-rise and one- and two-story office. We're currently under development now with a $35 million project, another six-story building, which you'll see going up now, steel is being erected right at Father Hurley and 270. We have a mixed-use plan that we're developing for that portion as well, and is also the next CCT stop up past Waters Landing, crossing back over onto the east side of 270, with a CCT stop located in this location here. So we're actively acquiring and developing and creating plans for a mixed-use environment in Germantown between these three properties. We're very supportive of the efforts that SUA is undertaking. We've sponsored, or we're one of the chief sponsors of the ULI plan, ULI study that was released in June of 2006, which laid a lot of the groundwork for why we're here tonight and some of the visions that we share for Germantown. I think the three aspects we want to see to help drive our plan and build a better Germantown are speed to market with the new zoning. Like to see higher densities. I think, Royce, we've talked about a 1.0 or even pushing to a 2.0 at certain locations. It's very important to us, including the ability to have 10 to 15 stories along 270, some of those places where we can really leverage the 270 visibility for high visibility office for some of the corporate users to attract to Germantown, and then backfill that in off of 270, so we're stepping down into more neighborhood and walkable streets as you approach the CCT stations that are stops. And then also the flexibility to be able to respond to market, respond to users as times change. I mean, the master plan that we have now has been in place for 18 years. We want to make sure we develop a master plan that offers us that flexibility of office, flexibility of residential, and flexibility of retail to respond to what the market may need at any of these three properties and other properties that would be leveraging the CCT and the Germantown plan.
And I take it you're comfortable with the idea that we move away from the kind of office park or retail park operation that has campus that has existed more to a street-oriented, active, walkable area.
Correct. It's certainly at the Century location and at the Milestone location, and longer term at the Cloverleaf station. We have the flexibility to have three different environments. The one and two-story product with surface parking, the mid-rise office with a mix of surface and structured parking with supporting retail and residential, and then Century, which would be a high-density mixed use with the structured parking, 10, 15 stories, and other mix of uses and retail as well.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Yes, that project you're talking about where you might have the higher buildings on the east side of 370, is that something you're contemplating in the near term, or it might be more like 8 or 9, 10 years out?
On the east side of 270?
Yes.
Yeah, that would be on the back side of what is the ACS building now.
Right.
And that's going to really be driven by market demand. We have the capacity between the three properties to develop up to another 1.5 million square feet. And if a certain user comes by under this zoning that is in that 250 to 350,000 square foot range, we could see developing one building in that location for them. If they desire a mix of different buildings of different heights, then Century could be the different location. Mm-hmm. So it's really going to be market and user driven. I do not see us developing spec office more than 10 stories in the near term.
we've talked about issue of affordable housing. One of the other things that we may be interested in as we develop this plan also is the ability to acquire development rights from the Agricultural Reserve to make sure that it is protected, because it really has an intimate relationship with Germantown. How do you feel about that?
This is where my consultant, Robbie Brewer, now.
Your consultants will love it.
They
love it?
The answer should be yes.
I agree with you 100%.
Doug Wren will tell you it's a brilliant idea.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Trammell would like it, too.
Yes. And so will the multi-employer trust. I mean, frankly, Kennedy runs multi-employer trust in this area now,
Kennedy,
right?
Kennedy Associates, correct, is the advisor of the multi-employer trust.
He'll understand the logic of it real quick.
Okay.
And I think with the right kind of, you know, that site with the right kind of work with the rail station, can truly be a terrific mixed-use center. And I'm certain that using TDRs can be part of that.
Well, just looking down the road, assuming we were to move in the direction you suggest, excuse me, I seem to have maybe a slight cold here, but anyway, when you come in with that type of a project, excuse me, I think that we'd want to look at the whole site, have some feeling where you're going with the whole site even before a single building were constructed, not to say that rigidly wedded to a certain concept, but have some overall feeling for what the plan mm-hmm. would look like.
Yeah. I think that's actually going to be the biggest challenge on your site, is that you're not going to be able to, that site is not going to be able to be built out building at a time as a user comes down the road. Trammell Crow or multi-employer is going to have to be willing to build some without knowing who their tenants might be.
Correct. We have a redevelopment plan in place now that's, you know, it's flexible but still subject to change, which contemplates a three-phase project. The first phase being office along 270, which be the most attractive piece now prior to the CCT for office use, and then backfilling with a mix of retail and residential off of 270, and then another series of office buildings focused around the CCT stop, which would be along Century Boulevard. So it'd be a three-phase approach, peeling back from 270 and then expanding north and south as market demand dictates.
Good, thank you. Mr. Hall will be followed by Eric Hart.
Okay, my name is Jim Hall, and I represent Day Spring Church Retreat Farm, 206 acres of quiet meadows and woodlands near the eastern border of the whole Germantown Master Plan area. The church brought the property in 1953 for a silent retreat lodge, which was built soon thereafter. I think this might be some time about when the DOE was built, as a matter of fact, but we'll address that another time. For over 50 years, retreatants from all over the world have come and spent time there weekly, connecting with the natural world and with their creator. And Day Spring, as you know, has been on record as opposed to the planned extension of Mid-County Highway M83 since the idea first arose in the 1960s. We have deeply grieved the threat that such a road would pose to our silent retreat ministry, as well as to some of the last remaining stream valleys, wetlands, forests in the eastern portions of the Germantown Greenbelt, and the wildlife who depend on that habitat. But we've been encouraged at moments when this road was almost removed from the Germantown Master Plan, as at the time just a few years ago when the Transportation Task Force of the Planning Board recommended its removal. Now, all of these concerns of ours are as valid now as they ever were, but today there's a concern that affects all of us and that must be addressed, and that is global climate change. Fortunately, we are all becoming aware of the terrible impacts of global climate change and what they could have on the lives of ourselves and our children and our grandchildren. Recently, Councilman Roger Berlinger introduced 7 bills that relate to global warming. One of them, co-sponsored by 5 other council members, would, quote, require the Montgomery County Planning Board, when preparing the general plan or any master plan or any sector plan or functional plan, to assess the plan's potential impact on greenhouse gas emissions in the county and consider options that would minimize those emissions. While this proposed legislation is not yet the law of the county, we think it makes good sense and should be implemented now. What would it be like to create a revised Germantown master plan that begins with the premise that everything in this plan, employment, housing, commercial development, transportation, environment, everything in the plan is designed to minimize greenhouse gas emissions? Such a plan could draw, of course, upon the planning wisdom that we have long known, in particular, the wedge and corridor concept. Corridors of dense development where people live, work, shop, go to school, and can walk, bike, and take short bus rides to where they need to go, and wedges that provide local food production. This corridor and wedge scheme seems right on the mark to minimize greenhouse gas emissions. And I see a lot of evidence of that sort of planning in the plans that have been presented tonight. We know how to do this. We can create a plan that will significantly reduce greenhouse gas emissions and we must do it now. There's no way, however, that any plan will achieve the goal of significant reduction of greenhouse gas emissions unless it creates a highly usable, far-reaching, and attractive system of public transit. We have all heard the transportation analyses that grimly forecast increased traffic congestion if we don't build lots more new roads. While traffic congestion may increase greenhouse gas emissions, building roads is not the answer. New roads result in more auto travel and more overall emissions, and inevitably, new roads also become congested. Ultimately, the only solution is public transit-based land use planning. And actually, I think a lot of wisdom in that light has been reflected in the plans you've suggested tonight. But I like the phrase, public transit-based land use planning. The Germantown master plan, then, we see as must be revised in such a way as to make major use of public transit both feasible and attractive. Public transit's always been a small part of the plan. In this era of global climate change, developing transit alternatives to new road construction is a must. Now that we know about global climate change, new highways like M83 make less sense than ever. We at Dayspring would like the revised master plan to recommend that M83 not be built and that it be replaced by a forward-looking public transit system that would include service to East Clarksburg, linking it to the Germantown transit system. In 2030 or 2040, when my grandchildren ask me questions, will they, noting that it now takes 20 minutes to drive a route that in my time only took 14 minutes, ask me why we stopped building new roads? I don't think so. I think they will have another question as they look at the impact of global warming around them. And it is this: what did you do when you knew? Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? Thank you. Mr. Hart, followed by Cindy Snow.
Good evening. My name is Eric Hart. I'm with Heartland Development. I'm here as a representative of the North Village 270 Limited Partnership, also known as Lerner Enterprises. I'm also joined here this evening with Robbie Brewer, our land use counsel with the firm of Lurch, Early & Brewer, and Mr. Chairman, fellow commissioners, and members of the planning staff. We appreciate everything that you've done to date, and we're happy to be here to speak this evening. The property that we represent and that we are working on is, if I can use this pointer here, is up at the northwest quadrant of the study area. It's bounded to the north by the park and to the east by 270 at the northern end of Crystal Rock Drive. We are eager to invest in the Germantown with quality development as market conditions will allow us to. Lerner and our other various partners in this program have been active for the past several years in the master plan study process. And we were also an active participant in the June 2006 Urban Land Institute study. I might also mention that Lerner Enterprises has owned this property since 1986. And we generally endorse the staff's recommendations, particularly those to expand the town center closer towards the I-270 corridor where the future CCT transit will service these areas, as well as supporting the creation of mixed-use centers at each of the CCT transit stops. It is also important to us that any contemplated alignment changes to the CCT, which have recently been brought up by the apparent historic nature of the DOE facility, do not delay the progress of the master plan. Many of us, as you know, have worked on this plan long and hard to get here, and we believe that there's broad community consensus around the evolving plan that we should allow, hopefully gives the, has the ability to continue at this time. The board's ultimate zoning recommendations need to result, we feel, in a zone that promotes flexible mixed-use developments at densities of a minimum of a 1.0 FAR, and along with building heights of at least 10 to 15 stories where appropriate, and also lower as they buffer adjoining residential. We have shared our conceptual development plans with the advisory group previously, and we look forward to continuing to work with the advisory group as well as the planning staff. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there questions for Mr. Hart? I think so. Thank you. Ms. Snow, and followed by Kathy Hawley.
Hi, I'm Cindy Snow. I'm a resident of Germantown, fairly new, trying to catch up with everything here. The comments I'd like to make, the Quarter Cities Transitway, I'd like to suggest looking at there's an east alignment as a part of that, and I'd like to suggest looking at coming up from Middlebrook Road crossing to the east at Middlebrook Road to take in Hughes and Montgomery College as part of the east side of the Quarter Cities Transitway. Along with the Quarter Cities Transitway, I want to encourage that we have a public meeting to inform the community, an evening meeting, because I think a lot of meetings are held during the day, but a community meeting so the community can learn about what the project is and also give their input on the project before it gets too far along and we get committed to something that may not serve all the community's needs without their input. I want to give my support for the proposed land use framework that includes expanding the town center towards I-270 and using mixed-use development that is clustered at the transit stations, and also emphasizing urban open space and pathways, and the idea of promoting Germantown as the upcountry cultural center, and that also improves walkability and bikeability as part of the development of Germantown. I support the downsizing of Crystal Rock Drive proposed six-lane to its current four-lane size and to turn the right-of-ways into the urban greenway that was described earlier. I also support expanding Century Boulevard to the Mark Station, which will bring the town center closer over to the Mark Station as well, and also along with pedestrian access and bike access along with that. There was some talk about TDRs. I definitely support using TDRs in any way possible in the development of Germantown. One thing I was very concerned about was in the town center, they talked about a 2 FAR density and 12-story buildings, and I feel like that is way too intensive for Germantown. They showed pictures of 7 to 8-story buildings, and that I thought looked very nice. So that's what I would like to see for the town center. I like how it's trying to minimize surface parking by having structured and underground parking. I think that's really important for good land use. Another concern that I had was some of the rezoning requests that will affect the current affordable housing, such as mobile homes and the place that was, they called it townhouses. I think there's actually apartments over in that area too that are currently fairly affordable. I wouldn't want to do anything to change that at this point in time. It's the last mobile home park and, people need a place to live. And so I am concerned about changing any of those two aspects of Germantown at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Hawley, and then Nicole Tota is the last person who's asked to speak.
Good evening. You've met me many times. My first hat is as an advisory committee member. I was appointed for the historic aspects of Germantown, being a member of the Germantown Historic Society. I'm interested in seeing the cider barrel get reused instead of being just a signpost into that apartment units, condominium, what are they? Condos, I think. There are three new historic designations that are coming before Historic Preservation Commission tomorrow evening, which we support. One is the trellis on the old railroad, the Mark Station Railroad. culverts, which were on the old alignment, which Colonel Boyd built, and we still have the stones from two others, and the Presbyterian Chapel, which was a veterinary clinic, and that had a bell tower, and Newsville Presbyterian Church now has that bell, which we ring every Sunday, so I shall be testifying on that. I couldn't go by without putting my Clarksburg hat on, being president of the Clarksburg Civic Association. I'm interested in knowing how many riders the CCT and the whole will be putting to Shady Grove. I don't think that we've talked enough tonight about what the outlying areas have, how they're affected by the Germantown Master Plan. There are a lot of riders coming through from Clarksburg. We can't wait for the CCT. We're transit-oriented rather than transit-dependent. And I found out last week that transit-dependent doesn't mean that the buildings are put there first and then the people go in them. To me, the only way of getting people out of their cars is to put the buildings there with the transit in place. Clarksburg is not going to have transit for many, many years after Germantown. So I hope that the employers that are coming to Germantown will get everybody in Clarksburg working in Germantown so they don't even need to go near Shady Grove. I'm concerned about the school situation. There could be 8,000 more units in Germantown, and how that can be done without building another school, I'm not too sure. I know we had a 6-year plan, but I think sites should be identified now. When Lake Seneca Elementary School was opened, it was designed for 540 students. That was what was deemed to be appropriate at the time. It opened its doors to over 900. And I wouldn't like to see that happen anymore. We have problems in Clarksburg with schools being overcrowded. Our cluster coordinator actually managed to get two portables, begged for two portables for the middle school. Now it's going to get another four. Clarksburg High School is due for an addition. It's going to get portables. And it's only been open, a year? This is its second year. What else did I have to say here? I'd love the Mark line to take more riders, but that has a problem with the commercial traffic that runs along that line. So although it's very good, and most people don't realize that you can actually switch from the Mark to Metro at Rockville, I think people should be aware of that. So that's, I think, mostly what I have to say. But Clarksburg is very leery of anything that happens, putting more transit stops down here because it slows our journey to Shady Grove. And if you change this alignment too much, you'll be putting the CCT behind even further. I've heard that the purple line has just overtaken CCT in priority. Most of the alignment for CCT is already in hand, which is more than can be said for the purple line. And that has been done with much forethought and much planning. So if we change it too much now, it's going to be difficult. So thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Nicole Tota and Susan Payne is the last witness.
Good evening. My name is Nicole Tota, and I'm with Symmetry. We're the owners of Century Park at Cloverleaf, which is the parcel. Could somebody point, please? Just north of Father Hurley along I-270. I want to pick up on where the speaker before me left off. Being a developer and an owner of a parcel with a commercial intended use, one of the things that we think is problematic currently with the current plan is that we have a regional site along I-270, but the access to the site is local. So we think that a regional site should have regional access, preferably access off I-270, and I think that will address some of the things that she spoke about in terms of congestion, getting people off the roads, so that traffic will not have to go through the local roads, but will come directly off the main artery onto these sites, which will make the sites more functional themselves and at the same time help the roads in the community and make it easier for people to, when people think about going to that area, they won't think of it as that much of a congested area where all the local streets are congested streets. We sat and we mapped how you would get to our site from the north and the south, and it's, you just have to go around and around to different streets. And if you would imagine being one of the occupants in one of the buildings on the street, you're very easily seen on I-270, but to actually access the site, you'd have to say, well, you exit, you make a right, a left, and then you could turn around and that's where you are. And so it would just be difficult. But if we could somehow, you know, afford access such that it could come off 270 to these sites, it would just solve a myriad of problems and really make these regional sites, which I think is the intended use. The second point that I want to make, I want to follow up on Reed. Reed spoke about 3 points, one of them which was flexibility, and he talked about flexibility in the different uses. I want to pick up on that theme of flexibility in another way. Being a developer, one of the things that property does is that it moves slowly at all points through the planning process, through the development. Property moves slowly. And one of the things that in our ever-changing, ever-increasing, fast-paced world would help is the ability of the property owner to respond to the market more quickly. For instance, if we come in with a plan to build 100 units of X and our neighbors came in with 100 units of Y and they're building their units, and then we find out all of a sudden that our X product is not really what the market now wants, they want Z. For us to go in and change our product is a very long process and takes a lot of all the stakeholders' time. So one of the things that we'd like to do as a very forward-looking tool is implement in the master plan some kind of ability for property owners to convert uses such that adequate public facilities would be looked at from a maximum total use. But if we had, and I think we've discussed this a lot at our CAC meetings, and one of the concepts that we've come up with is let's have a minimum commercial use, X percent of the site or X percent of the square footage you have. And then you can then, assuming you have that level of commercial development, which is the goal here to have a commercial corridor, commercial areas, then you could switch. For instance, I could take a square footage of residential that I had planned and make it hotel or make hotel retail or retail. And therefore, what we're doing as property owners is we're responding to the market in a more real-time way within certain parameters, which we would come back to the planning board to say what they would be. But it would be in some kind of streamlined fashion where it's predetermined that you could switch from one use to the other use so long as they're within the uses defined by the zone. Lastly, the last point, one more addendum to that point, we talked about blocks. We think that the use of modules on the site, creating the sites into blocks, will help with this conversion concept. So we'd like to divide our site into these, into modules, into blocks, and be able to convert uses. Because these are such large parcels, the development over 15, 20 years is going to change, and we'd be more able to adapt to those changes. The last point I want to make is we talked about height at the transit stations, which we absolutely embrace. We think that's a great idea, but I just want to add to that height along I-270 also. That's what the market wants, and it makes sense in a few ways. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Question. Excuse me. Ms. Toda. I gather your concept is within a total development envelope. It's already satisfied the adequate public facilities, PAMR, and all that, then you could switch around within uses that are permitted within a fairly broadly defined zone.
Correct.
Probably subject to some minimum and possibly a maximum.
Correct. Correct. And we've talked about it in the meetings, how that would work. But I think one of the ideas, you know, minimum residential or minimum. But one of the things that came through these meetings, at least to me, was that since the vision for this area, for these, the properties that we've discussed, is to be a commercial area, the emphasis should be on the minimum commercial versus anything else, so that at least we have that level of commercial. And then assuming we have that level, which is the overall vision, does it matter if we have 10% more residential or 10% more retail? You know, if that's what the market wants and we're able to provide it, then that probably makes more sense.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're good. Ms. Payne, you get the last word.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. I'd like to make a comment about Montgomery College. I have two kids who go there, and every time I drive into Montgomery College, I'm very worried if there was some kind of a catastrophe or a disaster. There's one way in, and you have to use the same way out up here at the Germantown campus. And there really ought to be an alternative route to get out of there in case you had to evacuate or whatever. It's very tough to use the same road in and the same road out. If you had any kind of a catastrophe, you could have a real problem with people getting off the campus. And the second thing I like to say is that as a taxpayer in the county, I would like to compliment the planning board in that there's been a couple of new members lately, and I'm one of the few people who listen to the planning board. You can hear them online. Anybody who'd
you may need to get a life, but
yeah, I like to listen to the planning board because you know, regardless of what a lot of people in county government believe, you really are entrusted with other people's money, and when you're planning for single family developments in the county in the future, I'd like you to consider. That maybe our future shouldn't be totally driven by affordable housing, that maybe there's another thing that could drive our future. And if you are going to plan more communities, and they are single-family communities, let's keep them single-family communities. Let's not keep them impromptu boarding houses and anything, you know, 25 cars parked on a driveway in the front yard maybe ought not to be acceptable. And I want to compliment the two new members because as I have been listening to the planning board, they've really been asking the tough questions, the questions that a lot of us taxpayers have been wanting to hear. And I think maybe it's not going to be business as usual anymore with the planning board, and some tough questions are going to be asked. And as a citizen and taxpayer, I appreciate it. So I'd like to applaud the new members in particular and the planning board as a whole. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take any compliment that we can get. Very good.
Good note to end on.
Yeah. Sue?
Isn't this the time you ask us questions?
What do you want us to do now?
We are opposed, ready to proceed with developing a staff draft. Is there anything in tonight's presentation or the staff report or in general that you want us to particularly be aware of? How about the direction of using alternative two with necessary modifications as we work out both the location and density of the land uses?
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to move on alternative two, which I think is a good place to start for myself, and I'm not advocating going to alternative three, but leave open the possibility of amendment to the plan, you know, if the transportation capacity and market demand is there, for moving more in the direction of alternative three, but I think we'd have to look meaning whatever planning board and council exists down the road, would have to look carefully at the transportation considerations on the east side of 270 before moving to alternative three. Well, one thing the testimony has struck me about tonight is that under our old Euclidean zoning, we end up with a lot of fragmented parcels or, you know, large parcel that might be adjacent to two or three other fragmented parcels where if there was a more uniform or a more integrated zoning approach, it would encourage assemblage. And if there was assemblage, then that doesn't necessarily mean that the total density over the same acreage would increase. But it would give us greater flexibility in terms of breaking up what's a very coarse street network right now, the point that Dan Hardy made about the transportation grid, because you'd have more land to work with, there'd be more way of working in some of the pedestrian and amenities and other matters that we're looking at, because it's easier to do that with larger parcels. So I would hope that where we see an opportunity to take a 40-acre parcel or a 25-acre parcel and make sure that it's zoned in a single zone that goes in a direction that we want to go, and then if possible, some of the parcels around it be added into the same zoning envelope so that they could be looked at holistically. I think that's one of the most important things that we can do under this plan, regardless of what the zoning of the parcel as a whole ultimately ends up being, which is driven by our vision. Nonetheless, I think that should be a guiding principle in what you bring forth.
If I could, first of all, you said what things to keep in mind as you're working on the staff draft. You got a bunch of good ideas from tonight, but several times during your presentation, you said this was a very urban plan. At a 1 FAR overall, I don't think the word very is quite right. It's more
kind
urban.
Of.
Yeah.
Kind
it's kind of.
Yeah.
It's more urban than suburban. That's true. But it's not very. The most important thing to me that I've seen so far is I think you need to concentrate, and this kind of picks up what John was saying, you need to concentrate on tiering density so that if you give us the things we want as a community, then you get the density bonus, be that superior design, environmentally sound building practices, sustainability, affordable housing, or what's the fourth one?
TDRs.
TDRs. No, it's not TDRs. What are the fourth ones? Because if you get those things, then you get more density. If you don't do those things, then you don't get the density. Because Euclidean zones, whether they're fractured and irrational, as they tend to be, over some given piece of property or not, even if they're cohesive geographically, they don't work well for that because we end up in the, you know, minimalist rule. Well, I met the minimum on the third Tuesday of the fourth month, therefore I get the density. Got to structure it as a tiered system, whatever that takes to do. Second, just a point that I wanted to ask transportation, make sure I'm right about this. If by any chance Corridor Cities does not stay on track, I presume that most, or as much as half of this development would probably fail a PAMR test. Is that not right?
I don't know that it would be that much, but certainly there's a link between the two, and I think that the one thing we haven't mentioned tonight that we have to think about is a staging plan.
I think we need to help our friends in the development community and the civic community in general understand how that. I think most people do understand how critical the Corridor Cities transitway is, but so much of what's drawn here depends upon that actually happening.
Right.
Finally, I want to, at some point, not tonight, but at some point, I'd like to understand the recommendation that was made to eliminate M83 and what impact that would have to get rid of M83. At some point, it doesn't have to be tonight, but at some point, let us know what that looks like.
Yeah, I'd like to add to that if I could. I'd like to congratulate the Chamber of Commerce for looking at the Corridor Cities Transitway in a more practical way. I've certainly attended the meetings in the past when it was light rail or nothing. And I think this progression to understand how difficult that would be to get was significant. And I appreciate your coming out and saying, we want light rail, but we will accept, we need this transportation system. And however, I used to say even rickshaws I would take, but I never really meant that. I was being just to try to get them to know how desperately this was needed on the state level. And obviously, there's going to have to be some real work to make this happen. I also, I thought the testimony about the 12-story buildings, it also had struck me how high a 12-story residential building is, and I was glad someone brought attention to it. The picture we had, of course, I think looks like Rockville, and I think it has an 8-story building. What I would love to know more as we go along is who lives in the 12-story residential buildings? In other words, how many bedrooms are we thinking about? Are they family-oriented at all, or are they all one bedroom, maybe two, which means maybe a child, but for the most part are people who are perhaps even transit, one could say. They're here and they go. And that is one of the things I would like to know more about as we go through this. I think one of the things that I know about Germantown, and I've had the privilege of knowing Germantown very well, I must say, for a good amount of time, it is a community of families. And that is one of its strengths. And that is important to hold on to, because while it has not had the commercial development that it has wanted, it certainly has had the ability to know what makes a good family life, good recreation, good schools. People have always pulled together on that. And I think the reason we didn't hear more tonight about residential use is because, frankly, most people are satisfied with how much they have been able to achieve in that area. But I don't want to lose sight of the fact that as we build an economic center for Germantown, we don't lose sight of the fact that the reason you have an economic center is to provide the revenues and the base for people to live here and to have their families here. That's one of the, we don't live here for the economic development. Economic development comes so that we can live here. And we always want to keep that balance as we go through this whole situation. So I think a lot of good work was done tonight, but I must say the nicest thing I heard was, we're going to take a corridor city's transit way any way we can get it. And I also would like to add a little bit to this. I know there are people will have 100 different good ideas of where that transit way should be. I just want to remind everyone, every time you change it, you slow it down or you lose it. There's going to be enormous competition for these dollars. I can't even, having sat in on those meetings, I can't tell you how tough it is. So it's much better, I would say, to know where you're going and to say, we know what we would like, but we know what we can take and that will make our neighborhoods and our community better. And it's key to it. Because frankly, I think it has been slowed in the past by the Rockville and Gaithersburg fathers saying, no commercial, people have told us it has to be light rail, no one will get on a bus. Well, you know, that's kind of yesterday's thinking. So again, Marilyn, good for you for bringing it forward. Thank you very much.
Just a couple of points that I would make in terms of guidance. From the beginning, Germantown has been one of the most unique planned communities in the region and indeed in the country, because from the beginning it tried to apply new town principles to an area in which the land was in multiple ownerships. That's made it difficult to do some things, but the plan, I think, overall has been strong enough to achieve a place of some very good communities. What's left now, really, is to do the thing that normally comes last to community planning, and that is the center of it. We like to think that somehow the centers ought to be there first, but they can't. They really have to come later when there's market and the other forces that make them possible and make them economically viable. We have an opportunity here to do it right. We're almost one of the difficulties that I see that we have to deal with in this plan. It sounds strange to see it, but we have almost too much land. In that the concept of the center could spread out all the way along the corridor and all the way along both sides so that we don't really get a center to the center. One of the things that I think it's important to do is that we think about the design of the expanded town center that you're talking about as a place-making place, so that it has a character that distinguishes it from the rest of the area, which we are also planning to have developed. But it's possible for people coming here to know that they are in the center of Germantown. So. I think that is both a design problem and it is a problem in terms of the way in which the density is distributed along the both sides of 270. So that's the one precaution that I would take, and it's tough because it would be a lot easier if we had one landowner to deal with along both sides of the road rather than a number, each of whom has really good ideas. But everything can't be everywhere. So we have to, I think, try to balance these things so that we produce the kind of employment that we want in the area. I'm less concerned, I guess, than Commissioner Cryer with heights. I think there may be some value in going to slightly greater heights near the freeway, mm-hmm. And to make it possible to vary heights. I think one of the things we want to avoid are sort of canyon effects and arrangements in which, in order to get all the density, all the buildings have to be the same height. It's yeah. much better if we can have maybe a few substantially higher buildings and then mm-hmm. Among them lower density or lower height developments so that there's some variety to it. And it also provides an opportunity for greater diversity in the housing styles and even in some of the non-residential development that occurs. So I guess my concern is that we be imaginative and thoughtful in the way in which we approach this, and I know the staff will be. So I think we're generally telling you to proceed with alternative two to take into account Mr. Robinson's point that there may be a later time if facilities support it in which some additional density could occur. That would be more like the process on development three. I thought the testimony this evening was very helpful to our thinking about a good number of these issues that you have identified. What do you think the time schedule is likely to be on this? I know if Mr. Knapp is still here, he's probably listening carefully to this.
I think he did leave. Mr. Carter.
Yes. We were hoping, it's not without challenges. I need to bring up this a little bit. I don't know if you looked at the very closely at the transportation map. We have 11 yeah. intersections that are problematic, even at two. So we've got our challenge there to work on that. But we were thinking about 2 months for the staff draft.
That sounds good. It sounds like this is probably going to move a little ahead in our schedule that we had laid out for the council, and we may be able to get it done or before the board at any rate, given the delay that has occurred with White Flint.
It's possible that yeah. these have been on the same track, mm-hmm. but we'll see. Probably get up to council late summer or first thing after the break is what our aim is.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. All these things that you talked about are not without significant challenge. I wanted the Commissioner Robinson's notion about the zoning. Yes, yes, and we've had several meetings with Nicole and many other folks about the zoning. The density, one of the reasons to keep it a bit low or a little sort of honor is this notion of collecting the density around the transit stations. These sites, many of them are large, so there's quite a lot of development.
That's right.
Although, you know, one sounds a little wimpy, I guess, a technical yeah. planning term. But
well,
you start collecting things, and this notion of variety, I think you want to be careful of. And yes, we probably need to go up a bit at the town center itself for the there aspect of it.
Yeah, the thing that I want us to make sure that we're clear about that there's a distinction between height and density.
Yes.
Right. You can have
the same.
They're just not the same, and it's how you distribute the density
yes.
That creates the place. You can have relatively low density and some prominent and interesting buildings. You could have relatively high density and a lot of very dull buildings.
The one thing that we're probably going to be most challenged about was the questions about M83. As you know, M83 has a longer life to it with other agencies working away on that. So I'm not sure we're going to be very...
That issue is probably not going to be resolved by the time this sector
yes,
plan
yes,
has to go because we're even delaying going into the east side of
Gaithersburg
yeah. waiting for the study on M83 to be completed.
Yeah.
Right. I do think, though, I want to reiterate again that moving density towards a quarter city transitway or along 270 or what have you, moving the density without the receiving back the things that communities
yes.
need
right.
doesn't make any sense.
Yes. Well, the tiered approach, we've heard about that, and we're going to hear about it more on Thursday, I think, on Twin Brook.
But no.
Yeah, that is the notion that we're bringing forward.
Good. All right. If there's nothing else to come before the board this evening, we're adjourned. And thank you all very much
for
coming.
Thank you for coming. Very testimony was very good.
It was. This is a cool building.
Yeah.
Do you like this building?
I do.